Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Unwatchables, where this time we actually review a show when it comes out.
Oh my gosh, this is probably the only time we'll ever do this, to be honest. Well, today we're going to be...
the only time we've had, and probably the only time we will.
Indeed. Hopefully, when Black Widow comes out, we can, you know, try and squeeze into that trend early on.
I'd say we could get that down within a week.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've made those type of predictions before. We're like, oh, we're gonna get on this show, we're gonna get on this movie as it releases, and then 5 months later, here we are. That's exactly what happened with WandaVision. So, you know, let's see. But, you know, anyway.
So, yeah.
Today we're gonna be talking about, or today we're gonna be giving our take on the Mysterious Benedict Society on Disney Plus.
Yep, new show dropped today based off of a book that I did not think was popular, but I guess it was good enough for Disney to want to buy it. So it's a book about, like, this guy who... So there's this thing called The Emergency, right? And we'll talk about that later. But it's basically, like, just, like, unrest in the people. And there's this dude called Mr. Benedict, and he sets out an advertisement saying he wants children to come take a test to get special, like, academic something or something or other. And so a bunch of kids who are our protagonists take this test, and they all pass a series of kind of weird and crazy tests to get, and they join this team, or they end up on this team with Mr. Benedict to go to a school, basically, and try to stop this machine that is giving, like, subconscious messaging to create this whole unrest. I think I did an okay job explaining that.
I think the best comparison is Series of Unfortunate Events, except okay, the kids aren't hopeless.
Yeah, that's a decent comparison in style-wise, but not really in the story.
Yeah, like, it's Series of Unfortunate Events, except they have adults who actually listen to them.
And they're not, like, super in a really unfortunate situation. Like, they kind of are, but, like, they're not, like, getting murdered or anything.
Yeah.
And got people protecting them.
Yeah. Like I said, the grown-ups are actually listening to them this time around. But anyway, this, I think the best praise I could give this show is that it is extremely book accurate. I mean, extremely book accurate. Like, half of the first episode, I mean, like, more than half of the first episode is basically just lines from the book, which I'm, you know, I'm down with that.
I'd say not just the first episode. After I watched the two episodes at, like, 3 a.m. last night, because I don't sleep, I decided, you know, we're probably going to make an episode on this, and I put on an audiobook throughout my entire day and listened to the entire book up to the point where the show got, which was a lot longer in book than in the show, and it was not... I kind of got bored, not because it's a bad book, but because I just don't have that long of an attention span, but, yeah... Literally, the first two episodes, they were including throwaway, random, useless lines from the book. And that impresses me, because every book-to-movie remake I've seen to this point in my life has been so bad at that. They only take, like, important lines. And I'm not saying you should have the same lines, but, like, some Percy Jackson don't even have the same story. So, I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah. And though I will kind of talk about, like, some of the things that sort of disappointed me in this, because it's not perfect. I do have a few little itsy-bitsy things that I'm not a fan of. But overall, I think just adapting the plot and the characters, I think they did a really good job with that. Like,
one character I am a little bit worried about, though, is Tony Hale as Mr. Benedict and LaDrop. God, his name is so stupid. LaDrop, but awesome, though. LaDrop the curtain, because, like, I don't know, in the books Mr. Benedict just seemed more like old and wise and contemplative, kind of like Dumbledore. It reminded me of Dumbledore a lot, and here he's portrayed more like cheery and goofy and funny, and his insomnia isn't played up as much, but it's played up enough. I guess it's another way of, you know, I guess another way of interpreting the character, and I don't have a huge problem with it. I'll just have to wait and see how it turns out, so.
I'd say the three protagonists, don't really remember their names. It's been a while. Well, I don't know, I just saw Rennie, there's Rennie.
Rennie, Sticky, Kate, and Constance.
Yes, I know Constance and Rainy and Sticky. I always forget Kate. But yeah, I think in my mind, those are, though not like, I had different like images of them, which you'll always have. I think they basically have their personalities perfect. Like absolutely perfect.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like I think Constance is like her confidence is just, it's just spot on.
You know, I was gonna say I'm not a huge fan of Constance. Why does she like have a Russian accent or whatever?
It's French. Pretty sure she's French in the book.
But no, they didn't say that. But it bothered me. She doesn't seem as young as she's supposed to be. Actually, no, you find that out in the second book.
No, you found it out in the end of the first book.
Or the very end of the first book.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be like 4 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah. She just doesn't seem young. And that's the problem with turning books like this into shows and movies, is there are characters that are babies, but the series of unfortunate events did it, and I'm not as impressed with Constance.
I'm pretty sure the whole point of her character is she doesn't look like a 4-year-old. She looks like an 8-year-old, but it's a huge surprise when you find out that she's just maturing earlier than everyone, than every other 4-year-old.
Oh. Right? I don't know. She just bothered me. She didn't seem like, I don't know, it wasn't that bad.
Because all the emphasis is on how short she is, not that she has like a 4-year-old's face, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I was really impressed by the child actors in this. Because usually I know Stranger Things has sort of broken this trend, and so a series of unfortunate events, but usually child actors are just not there, you know?
You know, I think people need to stop saying that child actors are not there, because everything I've watched with child actors in it recently is like...
Recently, because I feel like they found the group of child actors who actually work, you know?
They figured it out somehow, like...
Like, if you go to
Earth... This has good child actors, Stranger Things had good child actors, but even in, like, the past, like, couple decades, like, 20 years or so.
Oh, not at all. The biggest
movies.
I think
Harry Potter had pretty good child actors.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, usually most child actors who get cast in a movie, except those rare few, like the ones who were there was a lot of searching for them, because I guarantee you, for the Harry Potter cast and the Stranger Things cast, they really had to look for them, you know, to actually get those good actors. So usually, child actors just aren't there.
I guess the only reason I'm saying this is because the only movies that made it this far from there are child ones with good actors. So, I guess you're right.
Yeah, but besides that, I don't really know, like, what to say about this show. Because it's like, all I can really say is it's a good adaptation so far. I will get into the negatives in a second, but so far, the things that matter is the plot. Is the plot, like, pointing in the same direction as it should be? Yes. Are the characters similar, and are they clearly based upon the book characters? Yes. Is it easy to watch? Yes. And the only thing I can also the only other thing I can say is that the theme song kind of slaps.
That's another thing it has in common with a series of unfortunate events. Look away, look away. That was fire.
Yeah.
But I think we need to stop talking about it as a remake of a book and just start talking about how good, like, the book plot is and the show plot.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so unique, you know?
Yeah, I don't honestly think I would like this show as much as I do if I didn't read the book. Because so far, like, I'm not blown away. I'm just surprised that, you know, it's actually pretty good. Because, like,
it's not like a brilliant show or anything. It's just, it's, compared to the book, it's basically the same thing. And that's not something you see very often.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll sort of drift into the negatives now. Right, just a bit. But one of my main images of the book is that it's sort of like dark and dreary. You know, they're talking about the emergency all the time. So what I imagine is this really dreary look. It's like gray outside, it's raining. Well, not, it doesn't even have to be raining, it's just like forecast out. And once they get inside Benedict's mansion, it's kind of like, it's sort of colorful, you know, like the test rooms, they're colorful. And then when they reach the school, it's supposed to be, I've always imagined it like an asylum, you know, like an insane asylum, except it's a school. You know, like the classrooms should look like holding cells, but they have classroom desks. That's how I imagined it. And when...
Yeah, except they were the opposite of that. They were bright and colorful, and it was weird.
I could see which route they were going for. They were going for the really off-kilter, overly positive route, which, I don't know, I feel like that's the really obvious way to go about it, because that's exactly what Series of Unfortunate Events does. They make everything so colorful, it hurts. They make everything so colorful, you just know something's going to go wrong. But with this, I imagined it as the kids see this as a prison, you know? And everyone who is actually okay with this place, something's really wrong with them. And, like, the thing that really hits this home is when, in the book, they have, in the cafeteria, they have La Drapetha Curtin, and I swear if they don't have his first name.
Bro, it's so stupid.
It's such a good name, La Drapetha Curtin. But if they... In the book, they have him, like, show up in a wheelchair in the cafeteria and give, like, his whole beginning of the school year announcement. And it's, like, it seems, like, really, it's really weird, you know? And then they have this big reveal, oh my gosh, it's Mr. Benedict. You know, it's not, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah, except they ruin that reveal in the trailer as well.
Yeah, here they just have him reveal his presence in a classroom. And I don't know, I just feel like the book had this huge build-up, you know, like, it's like Benedict keeps telling them something's wrong, something's really bad, and it's like building up, then they reach this really dark school, you know, it's all gray, it's disgusting, you know, at, like the older students are like really weird and everything, and then it's like slowly building up, they're adjusting, and then boom, here comes Mr. Benedict in a wheelchair, you know, it just...
Where's the wheelchair?
The wheelchair,
Disney.
It's such an important part of his character, you know, because he's supposed to seem unthreatening and like nothing is threatening about someone in a wheelchair. But then you realize he's really evil, and he's kind of strong. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he has a wheelchair is because he will faint when he's angry. You know, it's such an important character trait, and
yeah.
It's too colorful, you know? The colors are too bright. It should be more depressing. And I know this is more subjective. It's just... I just like my interpretation of the book better than the director's interpretation of the book. That is...
You know, I'm not necessarily saying the whole thing was too colorful, but I feel like it would have made it much more interesting if... The moment they got to the school, rather than the whole time, there was, like, a dramatic, like, color palette shift.
Yeah.
To grays and blacks and browns.
Because how
and
I'm...
Like, outside of it, with Benedict and all that, is super colorful, you know?
Yeah, because how I imagine it is, like, in Series of Unfortunate Events, I know, like, another comparison, it's all colorful, like, the town's all colorful, but then when they reach Count Olaf's mansion, it's, like, boom, black and white, you know? It's all dark and gray.
Yeah.
Like...
And then another thing I didn't like, one of the few characters that I didn't think were done super well was Milligan.
Yeah.
Like, in the book, he's described as...
Like, in the background all the time?
In the background, never, not really noticeable, usually in some sort of disguise. And also, I know, yeah, this... There's a couple appearance things, like he's supposed to be blonde or whatever, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Except for one reveal that has to come eventually. But he's supposed to be sad all the time. Like, that's like the huge thing with him, is he's always sad.
Yeah, he seems a bit too normal.
They did that very well.
He seems a bit too normal, doesn't he?
He just seems like a hobo chilling back there.
And my only other honest complaint is Sticky supposed to be bald?
Yeah.
I see hair. I shouldn't see hair. Because the whole thing is that he had a full head of hair when his parents were taking advantage of his skills and, like, taking all the money and everything, and they were really pushing him. And then when he ran away, he shaved his head so he wouldn't be noticed. And then, like, by the second book, he starts to have, like, little hairs start to come in and everything. But I don't know, both that and the drop the curtains wheelchair, they're like important character traits, you know, and they shouldn't just be thrown out.
Now, can we talk about the whole emergency thing for a second? Because I have a very interesting thing about that I've always thought of as a sort of theory, but not really a theory, more of an explanation.
Okay.
I've always thought that the reason they never really talk about, like, specific problems, they just call it the emergency, is because the whole point of them being kids is that they don't really think about the world with stuff like that, and they're like,
isn't that the point?
Connected to the truth, so it just sort of comes out as some problem that they don't pay attention to. So everyone, like, there is some problem, but they just say the emergency, and that's because that's how the kids are seeing it.
I'm pretty sure that's, like, that's what they're going for. You know, this is through the eyes of children.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do you think that's what they're going for too?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know.
Okay. They're children, and the whole point is they're like, they love the truth or whatever, and so childish minds don't really focus on that kind of thing.
It makes it. I really like that they are sticking with that, because even though they're geniuses, they're still children, and I always hate it when there are geniuses who act like adults. You know, child geniuses who act like adults. Like, let them be geniuses, but let them be underdeveloped. You know. Let them not actually...
Yeah, the book and this do that very well. And I also think that might be another reason it's so colorful, is because they're kids.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's just how they see the world.
Yeah, perhaps.
Like, they're not seeing evil in this school. They're seeing this nice place or whatever.
Yeah, but if they want to make it... But if they want to make it, like, all colorful, then make it super, super, super colorful. Because now it just looks like... The school just looks like every other place. To be honest. It just looks like the test center.
Not saying I agree with the decision. I'm just saying that might have been why they did it.
Yeah, perhaps.
And then also with the whole the emergency thing, there's just like cryptic signs like... shoot, what did they say? I don't know. There was one sign in particular that said something like, watch out, we're watching you, or there's something like that. And it just seems like all these signs that probably are supposed to have weird warnings and stuff are just like simplified because they're children, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what I really like about that book, and I guess the show, they're doing it pretty good too.
Yeah, I don't know, just I feel like the show is being just colored down a bit too much. If I didn't read the book going into this, I'd see it as just, you know, another kid show, you know.
I would not have watched it if it wasn't a book that I'd read.
I'd probably see it as just like something along the lines of Spy Kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just not too great, but watchable enough.
You know, the way I'd probably think of it was like... I don't think I would have even watched it if I hadn't seen the book. Would you have watched it if you hadn't read the book?
No, not at all. I'd see it as a series of unfortunate events ripoff.
I wouldn't even see that. I'd just be like, oh, I wonder if my little siblings will watch that.
Yeah.
But now I'm very much interested.
Yeah.
One thing, shoot, what was it? There was one thing about the way they handled it compared to the book that did bother me, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I talked about Milligan already, who needs to have blonde hair.
Was it?
Should I spoil the big reveal?
Nah.
Or should I let it be?
Nah, no need to. It's not important.
I'll let it be. But, there was something... Oh, yeah, they made Rainey just totally forget about the teacher lady. He never called her back. He never said anything. He never asked to call her. And that bothered me.
Is that in the book, though?
That is in the book. There's whole scenes about him trying to get them
to
call her.
Oh, right.
Oh,
like he doesn't try. He doesn't actually try hard to contact her.
Like, there's a part of the test, and then later he specifically goes down to Mr. Benedict's office, like he did with Constance, talking about Constance, to ask to call her. And he was like, no, you're never going to be able to talk to her again until we're done with this.
Yeah.
And I just think that was important to emphasize that he actually cared about this person. And he's not just like, ooh, a new opportunity. Screw everyone that was nice to me ever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's one thing that just bothered me.
I also want to say that the trailer did this show dirty.
I don't even want to talk about it.
The trailer really dug this show's grave. They reveal, like, in the trailer that the drop of the curtain is Mr. Benedict's brother.
Yeah, like, that should be the big reveal of the first episode. That's like if in the trailer for Loki they started talking about, this is so irrelevant, but they started talking about the Enchantress or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the whole point, is that you think it's going to be one thing. Like, I know they played this up a ton in the book. They were like, there's this mysterious man on the island, the drop of the curtain, and he was like the sender for the cryptic messages, and he was like had children or whatever, and it was super creepy.
And then it's Mr. Benedict.
And he's like, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Why did he send us here? And they all have panic attacks.
Also,
and they have no idea what's going on.
Also, another thing I didn't like is they didn't include like the sneaking between rooms type thing. Like, I know they like sneak out to the little, platform to...
She literally came out of the ceiling, Jackie.
Okay, we'll just edit this out. I kind of skipped over some things.
Yeah, no, they did that. Okay. They should have. They usually do this messaging from the room in the book, but they went out to that island. But that was fine, because they combined two scenes from the book.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I don't want them to be perfectly accurate to the book. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just honestly super impressed with how accurate they were.
Yeah. This, mind you, we're only two episodes into this. They've only released two episodes so far. So
there's going to be a lot, too. It's not done till like, August 6th.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether this show will hold up. I don't have the highest hopes that it will, like, hold up completely. But I think it will be a good enough adaptation. It will be good enough.
Oh, I also think they messed up the guys in the suits a little bit. And that scene with them.
I always imagined them as, like, faceless people.
I always imagined them all as just people that all looked
the same. Like,
they had those faces that you don't really remember and you couldn't point out in a crowd, and wearing like nice suits, like white shirts, black suits, like James Bond style. Not, they were wearing like turtlenecks. And there was this whole thing where they like remembered Milligan and like tased him, or tased Constance, and the watches was their whole big thing. Like, yeah, the taser watches they would wear. So
didn't they have the taser watches in this?
I don't know. I didn't see them. Did you?
I think so. Like, I know they tased them.
Oh, I guess they did.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter too much.
Never mind. Take that back. But I still think they could have done them better. Like, I think it would have been funny if they found a couple of, like, relatives, like brothers and cousins, and got them to play all those guys so they all looked vaguely similar, and then put them in, like, suits.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they could have been executed better. But yeah, other than that, no huge problems except the trailer ruining the fact that the villain's like his twin brother or whatever.
Yeah. Just like
the whole color thing.
Just besides like a few differences in interpretations and that, I feel like this show's off to a good start. I don't think it's going to hold up completely, but, you know, I'm ready to be surprised if it does.
Yeah, like, I'm extremely impressed, and I am very, it absolutely blew my expectations out of the water. Not because it's like the best thing I've ever seen, but because it was basically the book, honestly, and it wasn't as bad as the trailer was. Like, I was telling all my friends, I read this for like a school thing with a couple friends a few years ago, and I was telling all of them, oh, they're gonna ruin it with this stupid show, and then it turned out good.
Yep.
And I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I can't be the only one who feels like it's going to be a bit really low budget. Like, the sets aren't really holding up in the school.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I also feel like I'm not going to be, like, rabidly into it or anything.
Yeah.
It's not, like, extremely fantastic or riveting. It's just a good book adaptation.
Yeah. I still think that series of unfortunate events is the peak of adaptation, right up there with Lord of the Rings.
So good.
I think series of unfortunate events is a TV adaptation, in that similar to how Lord of the Rings is the best movie adaptation.
Movie adaptation.
I think they're right alongside each other is the perfect adaptations.
Yeah, those are the only two where I like the adaptation more than the book.
Yeah.
So maybe this will be up there. I doubt it because Series of Unfortunate Events was so perfect. Neil Patrick Harris was literally the best.
Yeah, I think I'll always like the book better, this book better than the show, you know?
Yeah, probably. The show isn't going to be, I don't expect it to be anything great or anything, but it's good.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Series of Unfortunate Events with Jim Carrey?
Yes, I did.
Count Olaf. Was it good?
Not really. They completed it after the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
It seems like TV series are just the way to go with book adaptations, you know?
Yeah. The movie's not good at all. Jim Carrey's the only good part.
I still think they need to make a Harry Potter TV series based off the books.
Yeah, but would they cast the same? They wouldn't be able to have the same cast, you know?
Obviously not. Well, I think you could keep some of the same people.
Like, when I read the books, I imagine...
I'd bring back McGonagall.
When I read the books, I imagine the Harry Potter cast.
I still hate that I imagine the Harry Potter cast when I read the books.
Why?
I don't know. That's the one thing I don't like about adaptations.
I think the
that's one thing that didn't happen to me with the series with the Mysterious Benedict Society as I was reading it this morning. I wasn't thinking of the guys from the show.
Yeah.
So I'm still happy with that. But I hate imagining adaptation. I like to create the character for myself, you know?
Yeah. I'm quite the opposite, actually. I like to have a template, and then I like the show to fill it in if there is a show directly to go off or a movie directly to go off. Like with The Lord of the Rings, I saw the movies first, then read the books, so I already had those guys ingrained. But with, let's say, Series of Unfortunate Events, I read the books first, so I had like a small little template to go off of. I didn't have a complete template. But then this TV show came along, then I had those characters, those actors ingrained, and then I went back to the books and finished them up with this new cast.
I don't really imagine the cast, the movie cast with Lord of the Rings, but I don't really read Lord of the Rings ever. I've never gone back to that. You know, another perfect, basically perfect movie adaptation is the first Hunger Games movie.
Oh, yeah. I think the second one's just as good, if not even better.
I don't really remember the movie. The first book is the second best one. The best one, I know this is a stupid opinion, is the new one.
Does that count as a Hunger Games book? Isn't it like a prequel? It's like The Hobbit. It's like how The Hobbit is to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I guess. It's so good. You read it, right?
Not yet.
Please, Jackie.
Okay.
I beg you.
Okay.
Okay, so real quick before we go, I just want to ask you. You've read The Ranger's Apprentice, right?
Yes.
Do you think they should ever make a movie or a book of that or a show of that?
Yes, I do.
For everyone who doesn't know, The Ranger's Apprentice is just this really good book series about, like, an archer. It's cool. You should read it. But that's one where I'm really scared that they'd screw it up.
Yeah, it's like really important that they succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't feel like they're ever going to do it.
I don't feel like it's big enough.
Yeah, I looked it up. It's really not that big.
It's small, I'd say.
Yeah, it's small. You're right. I looked it up. Not many copies have been sold.
That's honestly wild because it's really good.
Yeah.
Like really, really good. And then also, have you read any other books by Trenton Lee Stewart, the author of Mysterious Benedict Society?
No.
No.
No. I
know. Yeah.
I know they're making a Red Wolf series on Netflix.
TV series.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's a terrible decision.
I think it's going to be, like, CG animated.
Oh, no.
It's, like, 6 episodes or something. It might be, like...
That's a bad decision.
It might be, like, really good CG animated. Like, realistic. I don't know.
If they can put... They don't have the budget for that with a TV series, do they?
Well, I mean, if it's short.
I don't know. That seems like a bad idea. They're also making a new Percy Jackson show, right? With, like, the author and stuff.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
No, I'm happy they can redeem themselves.
Okay, if you say so. Anyway, I think we should be ending this off now. We've kind of...
Wait, you didn't listen to me about the other Trenton Lee Stewart book. Oh. I was going to suggest it to you.
What is it?
is this book called The Secret Keepers or something. Let me look it up. It's about this kid who finds like a watch, and it's really good. The okay. watch does it's like a special watch.
Yeah, I think you told me about this.
It's pretty good. It's not like the best book ever, but I liked it a lot. Yeah, it's called The Secret Keepers.
I might check it out.
So yeah, everybody out there, read The Secret Keepers, read Ranger's Apprentice, read the new Hunger Games book, same to you, Jackie, and watch The Mysterious Benedict Society, because it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Bye. Or stay.
Also,
if you want to stay,
check out the extended podcast version of this YouTube video, unless you're already on Spotify listening to the podcast version already. On Spotify, there's probably a link either in the comments section or in the description. You'll be able to find like an extended version of this conversation.
Indeed, that is a thing.
So, yeah.
That is a thing that you can do.
And plenty of other content. We have a podcast. We've had it for over a year with plenty of content that isn't on this YouTube channel. So check that out. It's good. Goodbye.